Well, praise God. If you want to turn to Psalm 103, I'll give you a title for my sermon today. And it's kind of funny because we were talking about remembering and not remembering in our Sunday school class back there a little bit. And the title for my sermon today is Remembrances. Okay? And if you can turn to Psalm 103, we're going to start off by reading that. And I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you by your Spirit, Lord, that you just anoint this word. And that, Father, it just help us all to remember the goodness of you and all the wonderful things that you've done in our lives. And not to lose sight of those wonderful things, Father. And not worry about the cares of today, but just remember the joy of the Lord. And know that the cares of today cannot drag us down because we're more than conquerors. We're victorious in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that it was within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. I'm telling you, when I go to work for somebody, one of the first things I want to know is, what's the benefits? You know? And I'm going to tell you, in God, there's so many of them, he's going to be unfolding them through the ages to come because he has a lot of benefits. But we need to not forget the ones that he's already given us. And the ones that he's already given us are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, all of those things. But he's given us also healing. He's given us encouragement. He's given us strength in our times of trouble. And if we'll just acknowledge him, the benefit giver, and not really worry too much about the benefits themselves, but acknowledge him, Amen. Then you know what? You'll have them all. You know, a lot of times in the natural, when I go to the hospital, if something's wrong with me, I have a card in my back pocket that's called a benefit card. And, you know, I hand them that card, and then they say, and I, matter of fact, I have to kind of own up to this. I just got on Medicare. I'm getting old, folks. But I'm having my youth renewed like the Eagles, okay? So I just got on Medicare, and they had this thing that I didn't know they had until Margaret went, and she's a little younger than me, but she happened to go to the doctor, and they told her they have a thing called Welcome to Medicare. And Welcome to Medicare, they give you a complete physical, and it doesn't cost you anything. You know, because even with your insurances nowadays, you have to pay some things. But this Welcome to Medicare thing, they gave me a complete physical, and they did all kind of stuff, and I was in pretty good shape, you know, according to them, I guess. But you know what? I want you to know that when you're in Christ, you have the welcome to him all the time. And that welcome to him doesn't cost you a thing. It doesn't cost you a thing because Jesus paid all the price on Calvary for that. He paid all of the benefits, all of the little improvisos that's going to happen in that thing. And we don't always know what it is until we need it. And boy, when we need it, he's there. Yeah. He's that ever-present help in time of need. So I'm going to go back over those two verses again, and I'm going to read you the rest of this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And you know what your soul is? It's made up of your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. That's what your soul's made up of. And you know, that means if it's made up of your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions, that means you have to purpose to bless the Lord. Yes. It don't just happen. You have to make up your mind, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to not forget his benefits. I'm going to just thank him every day. I'm going to praise him every day and in every way. And you know, when you do that, then I got news for you. All of a sudden, the benefits start to roll in. Yes, the ones that you need for that day, they start to roll in. Praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I tell you what, if you believe it, then you can receive it. If you don't believe it, you just might not get it. Who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, I love that. You know, really the theme song for this song, for this church should be, and it, I believe really, to be honest with you, because Sister Audrey used to play that when I first started coming to church almost every Sunday. And it was, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. And you know what? When you lift the wings of prayer and the wings of praise, and I don't care what the winds of adversity are blowing at you, all that's going to do is cause you to soar a little higher in God, and a little higher in God, and a little higher in God. But you have to keep them wings outstretched. You know, if you ever watch an eagle, they don't do a whole lot of flapping. They don't do a whole lot of flapping. Only when they first take off. You watch them. They'll jump out of a tree or off of a building or wherever they happen to be. They'll flap four or five times. And all of a sudden, they catch the thermals. And the thermals are the winds that are blowing against them. And guess what? They don't turn away from them. They turn right into them. And when they turn right into them, their wings catch those thermals, and they begin to lift a little higher, a little higher, and a little higher. And you'll see them circling and rising higher and higher and higher. And I got news for you. If we'll lift the wings of prayer and praise to God every day, we'll soar in the heavenlies with him. We'll see things for what they really are, not what they appear to be in the natural. Because I tell you what, if we look at them with our five natural senses, we won't see the truth. We'll see fact, but not truth. And there's a difference between fact and truth. Fact is, I'm getting older. Truth is, I believe God's renewing my youth like the eagles. Fact is, my body's trying to wear out. Truth is, I believe that it's going to get better and better until he gives me a new regenerated body, a spiritual body, total spiritual body, one where I can walk through the wall like Jesus did. Amen. One where I can be wherever he wants me to be instantaneously. I don't have a lot of limitations on God. I don't know if you all do, but I'm taking them off. I'm taking them off. You know, praise the Lord. And you know, a lot of times with the eagles, and I'll tell you the story of eagles. Some of you know, probably know it, and some of you probably don't. You know, when it says, has your youth renewed like the eagles, every so often, eagles go into a position where they molt. And they go and they hide, and they lose all of their feathers. And they get all new feathers in this process. And they also take their beak and they bang it against a rock and break their beak. And they grow a new beak. And then when that process is done, then they can soar higher than they ever could before. They can, they're more well equipped than they ever were before. So when he talks about having your youth renewed like the eagles, he's talking about having some things change. You know, we used to sing a song, we're being changed from glory to glory. We're being rearranged by the blood of the Lamb. Transformed, translated, transfigured in the image of Jesus. What did the rest of it go? Beholding his face, we're running the race. Before us, we're being changed. Do you believe it? Hey, I believe it. I believe it. I believe he's going to change us in the twinkling of an eye. And I believe as he changes us, we're gonna be so much better than we ever were before. Praise God. Praise God. So we're having our youth, so that you might have your youth renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses. You know, I want to know the Lord's ways, but I also want to know his acts, because his acts are the things that he does. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And you know, sometimes you might think God gets a little mad at you. But you know, have you ever had your mom or your dad get mad at you? And you know what usually happens, especially with moms. Moms are better for this than dads. They'll get mad at you, and then it won't be too long, and they'll be coming up giving you a hug and telling you, oh, I love you, honey, even if they've spanked you a lot of times. I love you. And you know, the Lord is so much more gracious than that. He's so much more loving than that. You know, it says, he will not always chide, and he will keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Hey, that's enough right there to make you shout, because to be honest with you, if he dealt with us according to what we deserve, we'd be in big time trouble, all of us. But thank God he doesn't. Thank God that he doesn't. Praise the Lord. It says, as far as the heavens above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And you know, Scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's not fear like, oh, I'm afraid of you, Lord. That's fear like, oh, God, you're so awesome. You're so big. You're so mighty. Nothing too hard for you. That's the kind of fear he's talking about, reverential fear. A fear where you just shake in his presence because you know he's so great. He's so mighty. Praise God. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Do you believe that? Even if you fell a little short today, guess what? You say, Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry. And you move on. And as far as the east is from the west, you can't get no farther than east and west. That's as far as it goes. And you know what the difference between east and west is? The sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. So the sun's shining all the time across both of them until God decides for it not to shine. Praise the Lord. It says, as for a man, his days are as grass as the flower of the field, so he nourisheth. The wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. Amen. Any of you all who have children, begin to thank the Lord that he has your children in the palm of his hand. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care if they're out in things that you think, oh my God, I never would have thought my kid would have done that. Turn them over to the Lord. Begin to say, Lord, I thank you. You promised me my children's children under many generations, and begin to claim them and watch God move. Watch him move. Stand back and you know, don't get discouraged if you ain't seeing him move. That don't make no difference. He's doing things that you don't know. He's doing a lot of things you don't know. And sometimes that very bit of trouble that they're in is the very thing where he'll reach down and grab him by the nape of the neck and say, ah, I got you now. I got you right where I want you. And you know, he does that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. As a man, his days are as grass of the field, as grass of the flower of the field, so he nourisheth. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You know what the commandment that you have to remember is? They asked the Lord, they said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And you remember what he said? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. And he said, I give you a new commandment. And the new commandment is that you love one another. And love will cover a multitude of sins. Yes. And love will release, and love will conquer, and love will heal in situations. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Do you believe the Lord rules over all? You think he rules over even the bad stuff going on out there? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He's in control of it all, folks. I want you to know that. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. And you know, angels are ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. Some of you all, whether you know it or not, are angels at times. God uses you in that way. And he actually uses spirits sometimes like that too, but he uses you too. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto his voice, unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. You want to know what the will of God is in your life? Do you? I think we all do. I do. You know how you find out? Begin to say, Lord, what would you have me do right now? And then whatever he begins to speak to you, do it right now. See, we get way out yonder and think, well, bless God. Does he want me to minister? Does he want me to travel around the world? Does he want me to do all that? And we get, where our heads are spinning. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you today, if you'll hear his voice, enter into his rest. And the way you enter into his rest is do what he tells you to do today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about 3 weeks from now. Don't worry about today. Give today to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do today, that's what I'm going to do. And I'll tell you what, if you start doing that, you're going to find as the body of Christ that you're going to start ministering to people. You're going to start meeting the needs of people. You know, we've all heard the stories of Smith Wigglesworth, and one of my favorite ones for Smith Wigglesworth that I read years ago was when he went to a park. This driver, he had a guy that drove him around, and Smith told him to drive over to this certain park. And he drove over there, and they stopped the car, and Smith got out and went over and sat down on the park bench, just sat there. And that driver said, you know, he knew that God used Smith real strong. And that driver said, I sat there and I thought, he's missed God this time. And he was just sitting there on the park bench. Some guy come up and sat down on the park bench next to him. A couple minutes, there was a conversation struck up. Next thing you know, Smith and that guy are down on their knees on the park bench seeking the face of the Lord. I got news for you, folks. These works that I do, Jesus said, shall you do in greater works than these. And it's time for the body of Christ to start doing the greater works. And sometimes the greater works is just giving somebody a listening ear, just being there for whatever that need that they have at that moment is. And sometimes it's just being an encourager or being a strengthener to somebody that you come in contact with. And I love that, and you know, and like I say, a lot of the stories about him, I love them. But you know, even him in the books that were written about him, he said he knew there was a greater thing coming than what he was doing. He knew it. And you know, he even went over to the catacombs one time. He was over in Rome, and he went to visit the catacombs, and this priest was taking him through the catacombs. And as they were going through the catacombs, you know, that priest said to him, he said, you know, Smith, you'd make a great Roman Catholic. Because Smith was talking to him, you know. And Smith looked over at him and said, you know, if you ever got saved, you'd make a great Christian. Amen. Next thing you know, he had the priest down on his knees and they're praying. I'm telling you, folks, we should expect God to do things like that with us all the time. We should expect it. And you know, if we begin to expect it, guess what? I believe we'll start seeing it. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm just going to read you a couple things here, and then I'm going to close with this. I'm not going to keep you a real long time today. I'm going to read you a few things from history here. And this one is entitled, Why George Washington Succeeded. And you know, George Washington was our first president, and they call him the father of our country, you know, and all this and that. And George had some miraculous things happen in his life. I mean, if you study into some of the stories, I mean, George was a tall man for that age back then. He was over 6 feet tall, and people weren't 6 feet tall back then. And they said when he rode out into battle, he sat on a white horse, upright, right out into battle. And guess what? He was a perfect target. But you know what? God had other plans. Amen. He had other plans. And I'll tell you another time, one time the whole Continental Army was trapped at this river. And the British had them totally surrounded. And George Washington told his men, he said, we need to go to prayer. And they went to prayer, and a fog rolled in. And it got so thick that nobody could even see. And George told him, he said, let's get out into the boats now and cross the river. And they got out into boats, and they ferried all the men across the river to the other side of the river. And they said the minute that the last man got to the other side of the river, the fog lifted. I'm not sure that wasn't the glory cloud of God. I'm not sure that it wasn't. But I'm going to read you this here. It says, you may read in your United States history about George Washington found rest and relief in prayer during the trying times he and his soldiers passed through the at Valley Forge. With all the cares and anxieties of that time upon him, he used to have a recourse of prayer. One day a farmer approaching the camp heard an earnest voice. On coming near, he saw George Washington on his knees, and his cheeks wet with tears, praying to God. The farmer returned home and said to his wife, George Washington will succeed. And the Americans will secure their independence. What makes you think so, Isaac? Asked his wife. It's funny, his name was Isaac, isn't it? And the farmer replied, I heard him pray, Hannah, out in the woods today, and the Lord will surely hear his prayer. He will, Hannah. May God's assured rest be on his will. And you know, I believe that's why that George Washington succeeded. They fought against the largest army in the world back then. And they were just outnumbered something fierce, and they defeated the British. I'm going to read you a couple other little things here. It says, a teacher of children had told them that daddies sometime allow them to take the wheel of the car, but they always place their hands on the little one's hands to be sure that there's no mistake. Sometimes afterwards, a little fellow, 8 years old, was asked if he would like to lead in prayer. This is what he said. Dear Lord, will you please put your hands on our president so he will know how to turn the wheel of our country? Wow. Think God answered that prayer? I bet he did. I bet he did. Because out of the mouth of babes, he has perfect praise. Those are the kind of prayers we need to pray. Okay, here's another one. I'm only going to read you about two more of these. Roger Babson, a statistician, was lunching with the president of Argentina. Mr. Babson, the president said, I have been wondering why it is that South America, with all of its natural advantages, its mines of iron, copper, coal, silver, gold, its rivers and great waterfalls, which rival Niagara, is so far behind North America. Babson replied, well, Mr. President, what do you think the reason is? He was silent for a while before he answered, I've come to this conclusion. South America was settled by the Spanish who came to South America in search of gold. But North America was settled by the Pilgrim Fathers who went there in search of God. Let me tell you, America better not forget what this country was founded upon. We better not forget it, because it was founded upon God and on religious freedom and seeking God. This is the last one I want to read you, and then I'm going to close. One day when the Civil War was raging at its worst, a minister said to Lincoln, "I sure hope the Lord is on our side," which Lincoln replied, "I'm not concerned about that. I know that the Lord is always on the side of the right, but it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side." Wow. Wow. Think about that. Praise God. Remember one time when Moses and the children of Israel, and they had been acting up, and he began to say, "He who's on the Lord's side, come over and stand over here. And he who's not, you know, go about your business, do whatever you're going to do." And guess what? Guess who survived? The ones on the Lord's side. So we need to ask the Lord every day, "Lord, let me be on your side. Let me enter your gates with thanksgiving and with praise in my heart, and lift the wings of prayer and praise, that I might have my youth renewed like the eagles." I've told you all, when we first built these buildings back here, and we're first building them, they was just putting a roof on. There's a picture back on the bulletin board. Me and Margaret used to come down every day and check, because I only work like 2 miles from here. And we'd come down and check to see what kind of progress they were making and stuff. And they had just got the wood up and were starting to put the tar paper on the roof. And I always would walk around the building just to kind of see what they had done. And I walked around to the back, and I stopped and I looked up, and there was an eagle sitting on top of the building. And I said, "Wow." I said, "Margaret, have you got your camera? Have you got your camera?" And she says, "I don't have it." I said, "Have you got your phone?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, let's take a picture of it with the phone." And we took a picture of it with the phone. And that's the picture that's hanging on the bulletin board back there. I felt like the Lord was saying, "This is going to be a place where Eagle Saints will gather." And I'm going to tell you, if you want to be part of those Eagle Saints, you got to learn to lift those wings of prayer and praise. You got to let the winds of adversity blow. And however they blow, don't let them affect you. Let them cause you to rise higher in God. And if you lift the wings of prayer and praise, you will soar in the heavenlies. And then you will begin to see things for what they really are, not what they appear to be. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now we come into your presence. We thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that even that by your Spirit you've ministered to some here today, and I believe you've ministered to all of us here today. And I ask you, Father, to help us to begin to lift the wings of prayer and praise, that we might soar with you in the heavenlies, that we might see you for what you are and see what you're doing and see it clearly. And I just thank you, because I believe that you're doing a mighty thing in this hour, and I believe that you're going to give us eagle vision, Father, that we can just see exactly what you want us to do. But we ask you to give it to us each day, one day at a time. And do what the Lord tells you to do today, and don't worry about tomorrow. And if you do what he tells you to do today, tomorrow will take care of itself. And Father, I just ask you to bless your people. And Father, I just ask a special blessing upon all of the service people who have made sacrifices for us. But I thank you most of all for the army of God. I thank you, Father, that Joel's army is going to come forth. And it's going to be a mighty, mighty army. And behind them will be desolation. And in front of them, the desert will blossom like a rose. And Father, that's because they'll come out of desolate places. They'll come out of places that people would have said, "Oh, I would have never believed that brother would have changed. I never would have believed that sister would have changed. I would never believe that they would have served the Lord." But I tell you what, Father, let the desert in other people's lives as we come in contact with them blossom like the rose. Help us to climb the walls like mighty men of war and even to minister to those that need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you.